Good evening, family. It's good to see all of you here again one more time. I'm so glad that you were able to make it here tonight once again. We're going to study the word koinonia tonight. And funny story, true story, you know, I don't intend to be funny, it's just things happen. I was in the meeting of a Baja, then I came to the auditorium and realized that, you know, I'm trying to greet people. Timer goes out, and I realize I don't have my Bible. So thank you, Katie, for allowing me to borrow your Bible. It was over there in the counter, so I'll return it after. And the same thing happened this morning. We're about to get started, and I don't have my Bible, so I had to go back and get it. So I don't preach that often, so maybe I'll get used to it. All right, koinonia. What is koinonia? That is a Greek word. It means fellowship. It means to gather together. Koinonia is a phrase that refers to a whole household doing stuff together. And that's what we're going to study today. If you don't mind, open your Bibles, please, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. That's what we're going to have our reading. Acts 2:42. This is what he says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. One important key word that I want you to see there is the word devoted. We are devoted to many things. We devote ourselves to many things. So, for instance, I could ask you a question. So, if you're still working, when you get home, what is the thing that you do? Do you sit down and relax? Do you sit down and watch TV? Do you sit down and play a video game? Maybe you sit down and grab a book. Maybe you sit down and, like me, take about 15, 20-minute nap before supper. But that's what you do, you know. That's what you get devoted to. Because that's what you do on your time when you're off. In your time when you don't have to perform, you don't have to do anything. Devoted, it's a word that the apostles, in this case, the Holy Spirit, used to describe the disciples of the first century. The disciples who just not long ago, they were baptized. That not long ago, they admitted their mistake, they admitted their error, and they said, we need to change. And they gave themselves, they gave their lives for Christ. Devoted. They devoted themselves to a couple of things. Number one, to the apostles' teaching. In order to have fellowship, we have to have teaching. If we want to have a good fellowship, we need to have the Word of God present there in that fellowship. When I say the word fellowship, the first thing, and I think I've mentioned this before, that the first thing that comes to my mind when I say fellowship is food. It just does. Anytime I say, we're going to have a fellowship, don't you think the same thing? Is it a potluck or is it a catered in? But no, the word fellowship goes beyond that. It goes to being together, gathered together with one purpose. In this case, the purpose was the apostles' teaching. You see, the church in the first century, they couldn't get enough of being there on Sunday mornings, or in this case, sometimes every day. So they devoted themselves to that teaching. They said, give me more of what you have to say about Jesus. Give me more of what you have to say about my life. Give me more of what you have to say about how I ought to be. The apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Now, what kind of fellowship? This is a different fellowship. And the fellowship to the breaking of bread. Now, you would think that this is food. It's not. This breaking of bread refers to worship, to the breaking of bread that Jesus did in what they call the Last Supper. It's a communion that you do. Because then in the same chapter, later on in the next verses that we're going to see, he will mention something important about it. But this is what the word, breaking of bread, it was meant for worship. They gathered with the purpose of wanting to make sure that they were able to participate of the Lord's Supper. That is devotion. That's the thing that they look forward on Sunday morning. They wanted to remember what Christ did for them. They wanted to remember that sacrifice. They wanted to remember why they were there. They wanted to remember what they were made for. They wanted to remember the purpose that they had in life. Breaking of the bread and the prayers. You cannot have fellowship without prayer. You cannot have fellowship without inviting God into your midst. You cannot have fellowship without inviting God in where you are. And we can have this fellowship with family. I already covered that. We can have fellowship with one's family. How do you do that? You could think maybe a personal Bible study at home. You could think maybe this is something I need to do with the family. But honestly, you can have koinonia and fellowship just by being in the presence of one another while you're just sitting down. I remember a long time ago, my family, we had a TV for the longest time. Funny thing is that the TV only came on at 5 p.m. to watch the soap operas that my mom liked, and my dad liked, and my sisters liked, and I liked. So that's when that was the only thing to watch, okay? Don't blame me. That was the only thing to watch. Cartoons in the morning, and then at 5 p.m. you had those soap operas. But that's what they came on, right? But during that time, there was, we were playing. During that time, we were helping mom cook. During that time, if the dogs needed walking, during that time, we did whatever a family would do. And then when it came time for supper, everybody gathered. And mom started dividing the plates. And this is yours, that kind of thing. And you just had fellowship. Because you were sharing with one another. And then my brother would lead the prayer, or I would lead the prayer, or my dad would lead the prayer. And we were just having fellowship. We were inviting the Lord in the midst of our family. I remember that. For a few years, when I first had my first child, we didn't do that enough. I thought that what we do as fellowship is, all right, let's have supper in front of the TV. So for a few years, that's what I did. I don't know if any of you did that, but that's what it was. I came home, turned on the TV. The wife had supper ready. I said, well, let's eat in the living room because there's a game going on or there's a movie going on, and that kind of thing. But then you come to realize that that's not fellowship. A distraction is not fellowship. Fellowship is the time that you spend inviting, talking with that person. We have fellowship at work. And this is what we have at work. You do your job from 8 to 5, maybe 7 to 4, maybe 9 to 6, that kind of thing. So you do your job, and you're hanging out with people that work around you. But you don't talk about God there, do you? Sometimes. Sometimes you don't eat with them all the time. But there is a certain fellowship that goes on. That you know that maybe every so often, you get together and share, and you hear something about that worker. Maybe they need a prayer. Maybe they're going through something. So there's a certain kind of fellowship that goes there. And also we have fellowship with Christ. That fellowship that says, I'm going to spend as much time as I can with Him. Whether it be studying His Word, whether it be praying, whether it be praising, whether it be singing. You want to spend as much time as you can with that person. And that's what fellowship is. That's what koinonia is. It's spending time with the people that matter the most to you. And so that's the purpose of this lesson. I want you to see and I want you to realize that the people that we have in this congregation, the family that we have in this church, is far more important than any other thing that we can be spending time with. That's why God created the church. The church was supposed to be fellowship. It wasn't just about food. But if you see in verse 242, that's what they were doing. They were eating, but also they were spending time with each other, with the apostles teaching, and also with each other. Now, let's read verses 46 and 47 of still chapter 2. It's going to be a very short lesson tonight, by the way. Because the purpose why I'm doing that is because after we finish tonight, I want to encourage you to grab one more person that you don't know, maybe one family that you've shaken hands with, but grab somebody and spend time with them. Talk with them and maybe go out and eat together. Once again, it doesn't have to be food. Just spend time with them. I want to challenge you to do that tonight, that when we finish, grab somebody that you haven't spent time with or somebody that you brought, a visitor or something, and invite them. Talk to them. Because that's what fellowship is. You're inviting them to connect, to be part of that household. Look at verse 246 and 47. I'm going to read from the screen. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. See, this is a different breaking bread. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. Let's just stop there for a second. How often did they spend time together? Day by day. What kind of fellowship is that? How much must you love somebody that you want to be with them every day? Do you remember dating? Do you remember when you were courting that pretty lady and you couldn't get away from her? I mean, I'm talking to myself, right? It's just like every day, you just can't wait to finish work or finish school and see when, hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm doing homework. Well, can I do it with you? No, I'm busy. Okay. But you gotta eat. Can I bring you food? That's fine. See? Persistence. But anyways. But that's what it is. That's what fellowship is. You want to spend time with those people. You want to spend time with that person. And the Christians in the first century, day by day, they did that. They loved each other's presence. We're going to cover a little bit about that in just a minute. But they did love each other's presence. And look at the next thing. They were breaking bread in the homes. You know where they did worship? Sometimes they could gather at the temple. Sometimes they could not. Their worship was at home. Can you imagine a congregation of 3,000 people? Where would they gather? Maybe their homes. You know what? We'll take about 3 or 4 families. That's as many as my house can fit. We'll take 3 or 4 and we'll have worship there. You know, and another one will pop up and say, you know what? Us too, we'll do the same and we'll have worship there. We already had the apostles' teaching, so I might as well listen to discuss what about it, and we can pray about each other. That's what they were doing. And they received their food, what the Lord provided. And look at the attitude here, with glad and generous hearts. It wasn't the quality of the food. It was. Sometimes I feel that we get a little too spoiled on food, and I'm talking about myself. We get a little too spoiled on food, don't you think? If it's something that we don't like, we might not go to that place. And we have so many options today. What do you feel like eating? All right? There's that question that is going to pop up in a few minutes. Are we going Mexican? Are we going Italian? Are we going Chinese? Are we going buffet? Are we going Chick-fil-A? Well, no, not today. Are we going to McDonald's? Right? You see? Right? That's a question that's going to come up. But because we have many choices. And that's a good thing. And that's okay. But let's not be spoiled on it. Oh, you know, this person wants to go to this place and I don't like that place. It is not about the place. It's always about the people. It's always about the people you want to spend time with. I really don't care what I eat. You guys know I eat anything and everything. You've seen my Facebook post. It's just about people. And I believe that the church in the first century, that's what they wanted. You know, they didn't care if they ate. In fact, you know what is the reason? The main reason why they ate? Because they were already spending too much time with each other that they said, well, you know, now we gotta eat. It wasn't about food. It was because they love being in the presence of each other. And they said, well, you know, might as well eat something. So nowadays, how do we do it? When you're spending a lot of time with somebody, what do? It's like, you know, let's order a pizza. Since you're already here. Or let's grab something or let's, you see? Because they loved being in the presence of each other. They were glad and they were generous. You eat first. No, brother, you eat first. No, you eat first. You know what? Let's serve the elderly first. Or let's serve the children first. Then we'll eat. They had generous hearts. They were so happy. They didn't care what they ate. What they cared was being in the presence of each other. Of the same person. Of same mind like. The same wants. The same likes about Christ. The same goals that I want to be better. The same goals that I'm having a tough time. But you know what? We're here. I'm hanging by a thread, So let me help you. That's what fellowship was about. That's what church was about. And look what else they were doing in the next verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Now this is something interesting as well. They were not only being good brothers and good sisters to each other, but the people around them were praising them as well. People didn't have a problem with them singing in their homes. I don't think they were playing their music too loud. I don't think they were making too much noise and too much commotion. I think what they had was the spirit of brotherhood. The spirit of, we're just here with each other. And the people saw that. You know that's one of the main needs that people have nowadays. The sense of belonging. They want to belong to something. They want to belong to be part of a family. They want that belonging that says, you know, I want to connect with someone. That's a main need that we have, all as human beings. And this is what they were doing. They were connecting with each other. And when people saw that, they say, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that family. I want to have what you have. I mean, I cannot even get along with my own family. Do you know people like that? Do you know people that they cannot even talk to their own relatives? And when they see you and me and all of us as a congregation, that we get along, that we are connecting with each other, and that we're helping each other, that we're assisting each other, do you not think that they want that? Yes, they do. And we can provide that. Because that's what fellowship is. And the Lord added to their number, once again, day by day. You see what happens when we practice right fellowship? That is the result of true, real fellowship. People are going to be added to the church. Because they see what we have. And they want it. And they want to connect. And they know that we can help. And not because it is us that is going to be doing the helping. It's because we're going to connect them to the Lord that does most of the helping. I remember, and some of you that have gone to Baja, you know this story. Because the director of the School of Preaching in Baja, Brother Liberato, I've known him for years. And he used to run a school of preaching in South Mexico, very close to the Guatemalan border in a town called Chiapas. And he would bring the students from there and take them to different states to evangelize. And so they will just go try to find a place that would say, here beats the Church of Christ. And they will try to make contacts and see where do the people from that church met, where they can come in and maybe help them evangelize in the area. And one of those families was ours, was mine. They came to the church, we lived around the corner, and they came in. And they were like, we're members of the Church of Christ. We came to help. What can we do? Well, my mom and my dad, as you know, we were pretty poor. They would kill the chicken. They would kill a couple of chickens sometimes because they had probably 5 or 6 students. And she would cook for them. That's what I learned about fellowship. That's where I learned about taking care of people with food. Food makes a difference on some people. In all of us, it does. And then, we do the same, don't we? You invite people into your homes. You might not have the whole church, but you have people into your homes. That's fellowship. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be spending time with each other in each other's homes. And I know that sometimes, and please don't think that I'm criticizing. I am not. But I know that sometimes my house is not the best presentable house out there. It's not. And I know that your home may not be the best presentable home. Or you may not have the prettiest knickknacks. You may not have the latest things in your living room on electronics. You may not have the prettiest carpet or the rug or whatever it may be. But you have a home that the Lord can use to bring someone. Because I don't want that when I'm in heaven, I don't want the Lord to say, why did you not fellowship with the brothers and sisters? Well, Lord, I'm sorry. My house wasn't big enough. That is not going to be an excuse. Lord, I just don't think I want the people to see the inside of my house because it's not as pretty. That is not going to be an excuse in the eyes of the Lord. We need to be having fellowship. We need to be with each other. Because it's not about the house, it's about the people. If we can make a difference on them, we need to do it. So what will be our excuse when the Lord asks us, why could you not fellowship with one another? Because this is an example set for us. And in John 17, that's what Jesus was praying for. He wanted the fellowship that he had, that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit had. He wanted that fellowship to be with the apostles. And then he wanted, when he prayed after, he wanted that fellowship that he had with the apostles to be with the rest of the world that was going to obey the gospel. What will be our excuse to tell the Lord, "Lord, I couldn't fellowship with my brothers and sisters"? I don't think there is a valid excuse. But that's what the apostles, that's what the church in the first century was doing. They were spending time with each other. You may not have a big house. You may not have a big kitchen. We have one here in the gym. You know, ask some people to stay with you. Every third Sunday, we have dedicated every third Sunday of the month for church fellowship. And there are certain groups that meet for lunch and certain groups that meet for meeting for dinner. But I want you to know that it's open to anyone. It's open. If you can only come in the daytime and your group meets at night, come in the daytime. If you are working in the daytime and your group is meeting that time and you can come at night, come meet at the nighttime. Because that's what fellowship is. We need to get to know each other. Because we need to talk to each other. We need to know what is going on in each other's lives. Because I'm telling you, it is not enough just to shake hands here at the church for 10, 15 minutes. It is not enough. Because I know you know this. I know that sometimes you go home feeling, "I saw that person, I wish I would have talked to them." Because I've heard that from you. And I know you know that it's not enough. And I know that you feel it's not enough when you come in and you say, "Oh, I wish I could have caught that person. I think they were visiting." I know you know. But that's why we need more fellowship. They were praising God. Let's go to the next one. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Paul is telling that a good church here, a very generous church, a good strong church, look, if Christ is in your heart, if you have given your life to Christ, if you can be encouraged by this, please, I want you to do something. Be of the same mind. How do you become of the same mind? You've heard that we are at a percentage of the people that we hang out with. Spend time with godly people. Because if we don't, we're going to be the average of the people that we spend time with. If you spend more time in the world, your mindset is going to be focused on the things of the world. And I noticed that. And I know that. And I know that you know that. And I'm going to put an example for you. When I was in college, when I was at the school of preaching, I was already married. Some of my friends weren't. But there was one thing that connected us. Four of us. And that was wrestling. We love wrestling. We would gather on Monday nights to watch. There were two kinds of wrestling during that time. I don't know if you remember. I'm not condoning it, but I'm just telling you what I did, okay? We watched the WWF and we watched the WCW, one right after the other. It was just a time that we could yell and we could practice it in the couch and Nisha will just go to the room. It was a great time, okay? That's what we did, college students. We didn't have my Mexican mask, so that wasn't in the play. But if you know that one thing is going to lead to another, we're going to just get down to our shirts and the mask and go at it. But we didn't do that. But that's what we did. And that's what we talked about. Guess what I talk about with them when I see them every once a year? We talked about wrestling. That's what we do. I had another group of friends that when I was with them, we talked about their problems, their struggles. I had a friend, I still have a friend, who struggles with a lot of alcohol, a lot of it. When I see him, guess what he talks about? Not alcohol. He talks about how we made a difference on him to stop drinking. You see, that's what fellowship is about. Whatever you talk about with your friends, that's what your mind is going to be geared to. So if you spend time with people in the church and you talk about the things of the church, if you start talking about evangelism, if you start talking about encouragement, if you start talking about ministries, if you start talking about visiting, if you start talking about cooking, if you start talking about fellowship, guess what's going to happen? That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to practice. Because that's what we talk about. Whatever we talk in our minds, that's what we do. And then that's why he says, complete my joy. See, we're already participating on it. We're already encouraging each other. This is what I want you to do. Be of the same mind and the same love. Love like Christ loved. Do it the same way. Not only to the people that deserve it, but also to the ones that you think they don't. Because that's what Christ did for me. That's what Christ did for us. And let me tell you, there will be people that you think don't deserve it. They might. But that's when they need it the most. Sometimes people, they want to put a strong facade, a strong face, but that's when they need it the most. They need that love. Start practicing at home with the spouse, with the wife, with the husband, with the children. When the children are overreacting, you know, they need that love. They need that tenderness. They need that kindness. Being of the same mind. In the church is the same way. There are people that need it. This church, it should be a healing place. That when people come in, they know that they're going to be uplifted. They're going to be edified. They're going to be encouraged by you. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on one person doing everything. Any lesson, any sermon is not going to fix your problems. It's not. We have to make an emphasis on doing that ourselves with Christ by our side, with Jesus by our side. What did the Christians talk about? How do they practice fellowship? They talked about common struggles. Persecution was big during those times. Hatred was big during those times. Remember what Jesus said? That if you follow me, you're going to be hated by the world. And sometimes not only by the world, but also by your family. Mother against daughter. Father against son. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. That's what they were going through because they were Christians. They were going through struggles because they have given their faith, their heart to God. And now they're being hated. Who are they going to talk about those things? Who do we talk to about our struggles? You see? And sometimes we can make the mistake that because we are Christians, we don't go through anything. If we are here on Sunday morning, it's because everything in our life is peachy. It's not. We need to be careful. We need to let people know we are here because we know the struggles that you're going through and we can talk about it and we can encourage each other. How do you do that? You do it with fellowship. Talk about the things that happened. We talk about those things, right? The last night's basketball game, today's basketball game, March Madness is in full stream, right? Who's going to make the Final Four and all of those things? We talk about those things. We talk about things that happen in the family. We talk about mom, dad. How is mom? How is dad? Are they any better? Are they still sick? What can we do? I was talking to someone a couple of days ago, and they told me that one of the greatest gifts that somebody has ever given to them, that's right, it was yesterday. Her husband had a heart attack, and he had to have triple bypass surgery. While he was in recovery, they found out that he had another heart attack. She was in the hospital for 60 days. One person came to her. She's not from this congregation. One person came to her and said, I would stay with your husband tonight if you want to. Go home and get some sleep. She told me that when she was driving home, she couldn't handle it. She was crying the whole time. She was so overwhelmed because she was going to get one full night of sleep. Many of you know what that feels like. Many of you know how that makes you feel. When you feel overwhelmed by kindness, by one person stepping in, but one person chipping in. So what happened last week? They talk about Christian duties. Never forget that when we gather, it's not to only hear what we want to hear. It's not to just hear, yeah, this makes me feel good. When we gather, when we fellowship, it's to talk about how we're going to take that message into the world. How are we going to fulfill, as a family, as a church, God's mission to save the entire world? That's what we talked about. That's what we do in fellowship. I said it was going to be a short lesson. I'm sorry already. I gave you false hope, but I gave you hope. Just a couple of minutes. I'm sorry. Ephesians 3:6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. We are his koinonia. We are his oikos. We are his fellowship. We are his household. And what we do is to try to get other people to be a part of that household. Fellowship is the way to grow by welcoming new families. When we have lunch, when you have dinner, there's somebody that you don't know, invite them. In fact, I'm going to go a little bit on a limb here. Somebody did this, and I'm not going to do it. Somebody did this, and it worked for them. He stood in the pulpit, and he said, "Church, our church needs to grow. So if you see a visitor, take them out to lunch. Then bring me the receipt, and I will pay for it." I'm not going to do that. I'm too broke. But that's a good idea, isn't it? That is pretty good. If you see somebody, I mean, you're already going out to eat, just ask them, "Hey, do you want to tag along? You know, and if you feel generous enough to pay, if you have enough to pay, do it. But if you don't, that's okay. But just invite them. Just the fact that you invited them will say a lot. That's the way to grow. You welcome new families. They'll say, "Wow, this is a thank you. Somebody noticed me." Encourage one another. You couldn't find a visitor? Find somebody in the other side. Find somebody in the balcony. Balconies, talk to each other. Find somebody on the other side and say, "Hey, let's go out to dinner. Let's go out to lunch. You're already going out, right? Or let's find another day to do that." That's the way we encourage each other. Sharing each other's needs. That's what fellowship does. If you talk to a person long enough, a need is going to come up. That's a fact. When you talk to a person long enough, they're going to say, "No, I don't want to talk about it." And in their minds, you know that they're saying, "No, I'll just leave it right there." But if you talk to them long enough, something is going to come up. And they may not say it's a need, but they will let you know. "I'm kind of worried about my mom and my dad. I'm kind of worried about my wife. I'm kind of worried about how I'm raising my kids." Something is going to come up. A need will come up. And also, it builds relationships. And that's what we talked about this morning. We don't want to be mediocre in building acquaintances. We want to be Christ-like by building relationships. The same relationship that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit had in the beginning, it is possible today if we follow what he has asked us to do. Love each other. Don't look at their mistakes. I know everybody has. Everybody has mistakes. Don't look at their mistakes. Don't kill yourself over your own mistakes neither. Love. Love. That's the commandment that we have from him. Love one another. Love each other. It's so easy to start looking at things that other people do wrong. But don't. My duty, my commandment as a Christian, as a preacher, is to love. When we fulfill that commandment, we will be fellowship with God, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Get together. That's the lesson for tonight. koinonia, get together, fellowship, creatively, actively, plan together to do God's will. Just go have some fun with someone tonight. If this invitation is for you, if you need to come to Christ tonight, we invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.